Hey everybody, it's Stunker Any Audio number whatever. I'm honestly too lazy to figure it out. It's been a week or so since we've been on the site. This is Jeremy. As usual, it's Kevin with me. So what's going on, man?
Woohoo!
Yep.
Yeah. Sometimes that hour time difference is a bit of a bitch. It's really strange, actually.
Yeah. Well, that also.
It's really not that big of a deal. But yeah, we do have slightly more regularized schedules as opposed to the other two also, which kind of helps since we work during the day and don't do a whole lot at night.
Yeah. Well, that could be changing, which I forgot to mention to you today, so we'll talk about that after we're out of here. Just remind me. So anyways, we're here for a short show. That's what we said we're going to try and do. That's what we're going to do. So hopefully 30 minutes and we're the fuck out of here. So let's get right into it. We're just going to do a couple topics. First one, we're going to start with Monday Night Raw because generally WWE programming is the only stomachable programming out there. And one particular
thing. I even had to give a written beat down to the PWO this week. That was disappointing, really.
Well, I mean, Ring of Honor's on HDNet, but it's... I don't mind Dave Prazak. I hate Mike Hogwood. It's disgusting. He's awful. It's just, it takes away from the action. And seeing some guy named Grizzly Redwood or whatever his name was, I was like, seriously? This is what you want? All right, never mind. Anyways, so let's talk about Raw. And one thing we brought up was how MVP, they created almost a... Not a face-saving angle with him, but that was the strongest he's looked in months. I mean, coming out of the losing streak to the, hey, I'm the happy smiling MVP.
I don't think that he went straight into the happy smiling MVP. I think they've kind of slowly worked him towards that because at first, really, he was still just being a fairly cocky ass.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody just started cheering him, and they really shouldn't have changed from that at all.
No, not at all, no. And it's two totally different people, obviously, but The Rock never changed what he did. And people just grew and grew and grew and kept loving everything he did. That's why I want to hate MVP now, because I don't want to see – the guy in the Power Ranger suit coming out there and smiling and, you know, telling the crowd to get up and all that. I mean, I want to see the guy that goes out there, talks the same amount of shit that he had been, acting just as cocky as he had been, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. And I don't know. That was just getting lost. And then even though they gave him the win over Shelton Benjamin for the U.S. title, They then had him promptly lose to Dolph Ziggler, and
well, they had him like not be on TV like every other U.S. champion.
No, yeah, true, but it was just strange circumstances. They give him that long, and they keep bringing up that losing streak too, which I find weird. I mean, normally you'd think he'd be onto a different angle already. I mean, it wasn't. Like, his losing streak was more of a fluke than the matches he's winning are a fluke. And that's what it seems like they're trying to do. They had been trying to do, saying, oh, MVP finally won. Wow, that's great. But then, yeah, I mean, he loses to Dolph Ziggler, and then Ziggler calls him out on SmackDown, saying, no, I'm going to, at Madison Square Garden, I'm going to beat you for your U.S. title. Even though MVP's a Raw guy, he's actually going to be on SmackDown on Friday, so... If you don't want a spoiler alert, because we're going to talk about that as well, fast forward 7 or 8 minutes, or however long. So, but Monday seemed to be a new beginning for him. I mean, it helped not having Triple H and John Cena on the show. And not so much Cena, obviously, but it sure as hell helped Triple H wasn't on the show because... Along with MVP, they actually elevated some other people. I mean, or started to, or at least gave the appearance that they were going to be elevated.
that's probably the better wording.
Yeah, I caught myself. So,
Yeah, but, we'll get our hopes all high, and then, you know, it'll all get flushed down the toilet.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I wasn't expecting MVP to be the guy that interrupted Randy Orton. I honestly figured it'd be Shane McMahon, because he's the only McMahon left standing, even though Vince is still fine. But
and he's gotten his ass beaten several times.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it just kind of, I don't know why, I always end up going back to Jericho interrupting The Rock, really.
Yeah. Well,
not that, Randy, although Randy Orton's getting over well as a heel right now, I would not still put him anywhere near the mic skills that that The Rock or really Chris Jericho have.
Yeah, no. I think putting anybody's mic skills with The Rock. I mean, we both listened to Opie and Anthony, and they were talking about The Rock the other day, and just went back and watched some of those old Rock promos, and it's just there really was no one better. And I mean, on the mic, even Steve Austin. I mean, The Rock was just better.
Yeah, because I mean, Austin just was pretty much the same every time he came out.
Yeah, exactly.
People just still ate it up because they just really loved the character that much.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know, it also just makes you long. I mean, you know me, I didn't appreciate The Rock at all when he was around. And, you know, but now it just, you know, I don't know, it's like, it's kind of like getting into the Pixies. Or, I don't know, getting into Motorhead now, even though they've been around for years. It's just like one of those things where you're like, oh wow, that would have been really awesome to live through that. You know?
Yeah, no, I understand that. I mean, in a way.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, why did it pick up Johnny Cash this late?
Exactly, yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what it's like going through and watching these old Rock promos for me. I'm like, maybe I was a little ridiculous in my criticisms of him, but hey, what are you going to do?
Not much.
But yeah.
Yeah, anywho, back to back to MVP, I suppose. You know, I mean, he definitely holds up his end of the bargain, I think, on the microphone, but you know, I think Orton is maybe to draw a semi-parallel is more like Austin there, where he's okay at it, or well, Austin has more charisma, but he just kind of makes the same point all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're not going to get any real banter out of him, really. Like you're not going to get any clever lines or anything like that.
No. And it's always going to be the same line as – and just for right now, he loves saying the words, I kicked you in your skull. And it's always skull. I don't know. I've never been a Randy Orton hater. So, I mean, I'm not new to this party. But it is funny because he has very, very distinctly grown. And just over this last year, he's gotten worlds better. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's he's just more of the direct heel and almost, and I'm not going to say that danger is the wrong word, but he's almost at the same level of as MVP was. Because people are still cheering Orton no matter what he does.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he came out. I mean, he comes out after kicking the top babyface on Raw, or second top, whatever, and winning the belt, and people were still cheering him Monday. I mean, and I know we've talked about this before, and that's why they gave him like the whole like hiding behind the lawyers thing and all that sort of crap.
Yeah, they tried to turn the tide, but they kind of, as soon as they went away from his IED,
yeah,
it was back on.
Yeah, but then so going back to MVP on the parallel of it, MVP was acting the same way getting cheers, so they decided, okay, let's make him, you know, the huggable purple guy, or blue, or whatever color he decides to wear. But then
Munchie's black and red now.
Yeah, yeah. But then they actually gave him, outside of the pandering to the crowd, which, you know, I always love, he held his ground. he didn't look out of place at all. Even with, like, you know, Legacy bad-mouthing him and whatnot, I don't know. It almost looked like they'd finally given, like, said, okay, here you go. Here's a little ball, and go run with it and see what you can do with it.
Yeah, no, and I mean, I think he did a pretty damn good job on the mic. Like I said, I mean, I think he has some pretty damn good mic skills. And that was another thing they did during even during that losing streak, they still gave him segments, and I thought he always carried those off well.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, whoa. You know, I just still could never fucking figure out why they decided to keep on making him lose. You know, I mean, on a losing streak, he can still hold segments. Like, even when he came out, like, when he was, like, on Lost 19 or whatever it fucking was, you know, right before he lost, like, he came out and I even thought he was pretty entertaining when he had his furniture repoed, for God's sake.
I forgot about that, actually. And just saying your furniture got repoed is kind of funny. Because, you know, that's actually probably happened to somebody. They come home and there's a barren living room somewhere. But I think outside of the promo part, he even held his own. I mean, they had, a two-segment match on Raw, if I remember right.
Yeah, I could get a... Powell keeps track of time here. But
even in the ring, he held his own with Orton. He didn't look out of place again. Now, whether that's a testament to Orton, you know, becoming a better worker, or if it's a testament, you know, to MVP waking up and going, hey, I need to step it up if I'm actually going to be considered someone important.
I don't think he needed to I'm just going to go back to the whole – it's a mystery. Why the fuck – I mean, they just completely de-pushed him like they do with a lot of people, really.
Well, there was the whole thing with him supposedly giving the piss test guy a hard time.
Just
ridiculous. I mean, that's just ridiculous. If a true story, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that is complete. If that's why he got deep pushed, that is. I'd like to pee on whoever made that decision. Really.
Exactly.
Either that, or I'll pull a Randy Orton and crap in their gym bag. One of the two. Take your option. Powell said it's about an 11-minute match, and I mean, I thought he was always pretty damn good in the ring, really.
Well, you got to remember way back. I mean, and this is another classic case of people jumping all over him, because I know we did our fair share on the audio experience. This is the outfits, the promos, all that sort of stuff. But when you lead off against Big Vito in a dress, I mean, you really don't have anywhere else to go but up. Unless you don't show anything, which he didn't when he started. I don't know. It's, I mean, we've been calling for a push for him. And
yeah, I guess that's the problem with me, is that it's almost, I remember more of his good stuff at this point than I remember maybe that clunky beginning.
Right.
Although I did like the whole agent idea, and I still think it should be used, but whatever. Yeah. I'm not gonna, you know, spiel again.
Yeah, but as much as they did good, having Shane McMahon interfere in that match, I didn't have a problem with at all. I thought that was fine. But you brought it up, and it was that MVP should have gotten in there and, you know, fought with Shane McMahon. And I think that's probably the only telltale sign that they're really not giving him the push that we think he's getting.
Yeah, because I mean, they really, and if they really wanted to, they could have, since they could have had Batista bail them out. You know, and then you won't have to worry, because I mean, I think I had brought this up too when we were instant messaging Rhodes and DiBiase taking on the Colognes.
Right.
You know, at least that way, if you throw in Batista there, you don't try and make some type of a feud out of, you know, the two pissants and Legacy and MVP.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Especially when it appears that Legacy is going to be moving on to the Colognes anyways. So that part would have gotten knocked out. But it still would have added a little bit of rub if he wouldn't have just disappeared, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, as soon as Shane McMahon popped, I mean, came in, all of a sudden, well, wait, where's the black guy in the purple suit or whatever color he was wearing? I'm like, that's kind of weird. And no mention of him, no nothing. And
yeah, that was the other thing. It wasn't like they beat him down or something and tossed him out of the ring.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened. He just get tossed out? Didn't Randy Orton just dump him over the top rope? And then all of a sudden Shane appears? Was that how?
Yeah, okay. He went for the mafia kick again, and Orton avoided it and dumped him over
That's
the top
it.
Rope.
Right. And then all of a sudden Shane shows up and he disappears. I mean, I would love to know if he just rolled under the ring during all that, which would make him look like a total bitch to like the seven people that saw him roll under. But then, I mean,
I'm hoping that Bella Twins were still under there.
Yeah, and Hornswoggle. Ugh, that shit's gonna get old. I'm sorry, it already is. But then and this is what I'm talking about, SmackDown spoilers, so I guess you can go ahead now. He actually ends up defeating Dolph Ziggler, who beat him before. So MVP now, I guess, is only going to be a Raw exclusive guy. So they gave him the big win on SmackDown in Madison Square Garden, which, I mean, to most people, doesn't matter. I mean, I know they call like they always talk about the Madison Square Garden's this and this. To the rest of the country, no one gives a shit.
Well, and plus it's gotten to that point where it's just not that famous anymore. Like,
no.
I mean, yeah, it was just because there weren't that many big arenas or nice arenas.
Mm-hmm.
But shit, I can go down the street from my place and see a much fucking nicer arena.
Yeah.
That seats almost as many people.
Yeah, and the argument's going to be that there's history in Madison Square Garden. When was the last time history was made in Madison Square Garden? And if someone mentions the 94 fucking Rangers, was it 94?
Yeah.
95, whatever. Yeah, okay. Big fucking deal. And you haven't done shit since. The Knicks haven't been anything in how long?
God only knows how long. There might have been one decent, I don't know, did De La Hoya even have a match there at some point? Like, I'm trying to think of even a boxing match.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you'd have to go back to, like, Frazier and Ali for, like, a really, really big one. I mean, I think De La Hoya fought there at some point, but whatever, you know, one fight, maybe.
Yeah, good for you. I mean, there's been more history made at other arenas in the last 15 years than there has been at Madison Square Garden. I mean, and if you want to go wrestling, historically, wrestling-wise, wow, the last time WWE had their WrestleMania there, that turned out real well. So
WrestleMania 20.
Yeah. So you got both of the main event guys are dead. Of course, one turned out to be a murderer. I guess that's historically significant. So, all right. My bad. But anyways, it just seems like...
Oh, my God.
What?
I'm watching, I just have Throwdown with Bobby Flay on just to have something on the background. And he's doing, it's a chicken wing contest. And there is literally this idiot there that instead of a cheese head, he has a giant wing head. Like, it's just like a drumstick.
Yeah, that guy's an asshole. So
yes, he is. That's why I had to laugh.
It'd be nice if he actually got too close to the flame and lit his dumb ass on fire.
Nah, it'd be nice if he got a bone caught in his throat and he fucking chokes on it.
No, I don't turn the TV on back in this room because it's too small. Yes, that's snobbery. I don't give a fuck. So when you got a 52-inch flat in the other room and you come back here to an old box 27-inch from like 1990, I just don't care to turn it on anymore. So.
Fuck off, I have a 25-inch TV.
Yeah, well, you make up for it in cock, so that's all right.
Yep.
Yeah, nice.
For that whole lady listening out there.
Yes, and for our gay contingency. That's it. All right, but let's move on.
Yeah, that sounds good.
See what happens with MVP, but it was a little eye-opening, so it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, we'll hope, but, see.
What do you want to go with next? We can go with the next establishment or next installment of Raw, or we can go with the fun news of with TNA and our pure speculation.
Let's just save TNA for last and just hit the other Raw thing here. Okay. We may as well fucking stick with the WWE and go with the skewering at the end.
Yes. Now, I will admit I missed Backlash because I was far too hungover and I fell asleep at 8 o'clock on Sunday. So All of my backlash talking points are actually going to be based off of what I read and then, you know, snippets that I found online here and there.
That good gravy. I mean, if they could show more of their main events on TV, you may as well just watch Raw half the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they're just doing it, you know, stopgap animation type.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, wow. I saw the end of the, you know, of two of the three matches.
Yeah.
The main event matches, you know. I saw Randy Orton punt Triple H in the head, and I saw Big Show toss him through. And I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. It's stopgap, but who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, in a week, you're going to show me what happens anyways.
Yeah.
But
because my connection was my internet connection was not being happy with me.
Yeah, well, my brain wasn't functioning after Saturday night. So, but on Raw they continued and created actually, you know, the Batista, John Cena, Big Show, little triangle now, which is good because it gives all three main event players something to do, and. Watching the end of Raw, when Cena came out, and I'll take the hits for this, he was a little cartoony like he always is. Well, I'm sorry, he's always a lot cartoony. He was only a little bit cartoony when he stumbled out and, you know, distracted Big Show or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually didn't mind it, though. Because, I mean, as we always talk about, if something big happens, in no way, shape, or form should they be on the show the next day. Like Randy Orton, in no way should have been wrestling MVP after that match. Yeah, I mean, Matt Hardy shouldn't have been wrestling after that I Quit match with Jeff Hardy. It limits...
Well, they slithered around that one pretty well,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm getting at, though? It's you can't have these big matches with all this energy expended, all this time, passion, whatever you want to call it.
All the, you know, to make it sink in that these guys actually have a problem, you know, it's just like you always know that the guy that gets his ass kicked before the show is gonna win.
Yeah.
You know, in the long, well, I guess Cena did.
Yeah,
Cena
lost.
Lose.
Mm-hmm.
like you just don't. Well, no. You just don't think about them actually having a problem. You know, you don't think that they're injured at all. It's like, whatever, they're going to come back from it half the time. Like, even if it's like, oh, no, is that shoulder going to come into play? And then it almost never comes into the shoulder, elbow, whatever, you know. Insert body part here. But, at least with Cena, like, the one thing I did like, am I all over the place that you laughed at me?
No, it was just the line, insert body part here.
No.
I was like, well, all right.
It's going to remind me of
it's an innocent state.
Eric's headline of Batista puts his beef oboe into Kelly's ham wallet. Anyway. at least Cena didn't, you know, he didn't attack him.
Sorry. I was just thinking about an actual ham wallet. How fucking disgusting that would be. You reach in your back pocket and it's just like... Just like a gelatinous mess after a while of sitting on it for like 30 minutes. Oh, God.
Well, I mean, maybe it'll ward off the swine flu, so just go ahead and keep a ham wallet in your back pocket.
You pull out your dollar bills or your ATM card, and you gotta like wipe the gunk off of it because the strip won't work. Just terrible. Ugh.
Your dog is constantly biting your ass.
Yeah, sniffing your pants and all that. It's like, all right, get it, dog. Get the fuck out of here. Anyways, what were you saying?
No, the good thing about Cena coming out was that, yeah, he was acting cartoony, but at least he was acting worse for the wear.
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting at, yeah.
Yeah, I figured. And he didn't attack Big Show. Like, he didn't distract him by, like, you know, getting him disqualified or anything like that. Yeah. You know, he just kind of stood up there at ringside, or at on the ramp there. So, you know... I guess that's fine enough, you know, if he's not acting like Super Shane and, like, coming out and whooping ass.
Right.
You know, it definitely makes it feel a lot better that, you know, he didn't really do anything.
Yeah. And it also opens up the gate for the you know, the eventual or inevitable, really, Orton Batista feud, which they had to get back on track somehow. So it only made sense for Batista to win, even if you don't want two heels fighting each other anyways. I mean, if the Big Show were to win. So they're already, I mean, to give WWE credit, through that little triangle, they just set up their next pay-per-view already in 1 week, which is something that they haven't been able to do.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, you've got Orton Batista and you've got Big Show John Cena, which yes, we've seen before, but you know, one can only hope it'll be better or different at least.
Dear God, they even made the third match on Tuesday with Christian rematching against Jack Swagger.
Well, and then for SmackDown, they've got that main event locked up too. So it's a weird time actually, because WWE usually falls on its face right about this time of the year.
Yeah, they're done with WrestleMania, so it's usually pack in the writing crew, yeah. And we'll see you next January. Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, that this whole draft thing, if they stick to it, and from what it sounds like, they're gonna try and keep guys on their own show, MVP being the exception so far. But it sounds like they actually are going to try and like split them up again, and really I think that's probably the best thing they can do. I mean, until ratings start. Because you've got the superstar show that, you know, through that they use superstars to get this guy versus this guy now.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Plus, if they keep it at three matches apiece. You know, it would be a nice highlight for all three brands, really.
Right.
You know, anybody remembers to watch the goddamn show.
Yeah, well, no one's remembering to watch ECW, so.
Yeah, that's just a shame, really.
Yeah, because ECW's got, you know, I'm still not crazy about Christian being on there. I'm not crazy about Finley being in the ring anymore. But Jack Swagger's come so far so fast. I mean, you've got Swagger, you got Bourne. I still like Ricky Ortiz. Oh, he's on SmackDown now. Never mind.
Yeah.
They're finally giving Burchill something to do. I mean, it's just, again, it's they've got their new crop in ECW, and they'll split them up later. And, you know, that's fine.
Yep.
So it's just, you know, everyone bitches that they want to see, like, you know, it used to be OVW on TV. Or, well, no one wanted to see Deep South. Trust me, I saw those. So it's just, ECW is that show where you can see the guys, like, you know, coming up and coming up, but I guess no one cares. So
yeah,
all right.
I just honestly can't believe they can't get more people to tune in just for Bourne, really, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, they got to market him. They got to market him. That's why
him and his poor. I'm not looking at the camera that's recording me.
Oh, yeah, because I've got the giant cute teleprompter there. That was brutal. I was like, dude, you got to be kidding, right? Boy, yeah.
Yeah, as much as I'm amazed every time that he's in the ring, no matter how many times I've seen the same damn moves, that was rough.
Yeah, that was some serious bullshit. I was like, yeah, are you kidding? You're not going to look at the camera at all? I mean, ever? But all right, well, let's get to the funny, or at least we're going to try and make it funny.
It is funny.
All right, you go. You feel free and run with this, because this was your – you mentioned this anyways, so I'll let you have it.
Oh, Fat Albert on TNA, or Fat Joe, or whatever his name is. He gets out of the limo, and I – you know, they're trying to drop hints about him being with Taz.
Yeah.
Without actually doing it. And really, the towel over the head to me, like, how many people do you really think are watching wrestling right now, aside from, like, the dozen idiots, four of us being the morons that record these shows for this site? You know, out of the, like, 12 people that have watched wrestling that long and still watch TNA now, how many people actually recognize the towel over the head?
Yeah.
You know, at a minimum, I think they should at least make it orange. I know that Taz didn't normally wear an orange towel, and then it was normally black, which is what Joe is using. And they're keeping the raggedy edges, which, you know, they're doing a decent job, I suppose. Plus, they're giving them the fuck the world attitude. But still, it's more like let's eat the world attitude.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it. All right, sorry about that. I went to the TNA site, and they always load that fucking YouTube video up, and it just blares in my ear, in my headset, just pisses me off, man. Yeah, and they've also been calling Samoa Joe now the Samoan submission machine. They've gone back to that. Exactly. I don't know. Yeah, if
there's only him and his nation of violence.
Yeah, then,
like, which, yeah. As quickly as Jack Swagger has risen, that is how quickly Samoa Joe has fallen.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, it's really... I mean, that is the difference between those two companies. Like, they have gold in him, and I can't believe he is such a lazy fuck. Like, whatever. Okay, you don't want to look like a giant buff guy. That's fine. You know, you want to look like a kind of fat, out-of-shape Samoan guy. But seriously, like, am I supposed to believe that you're a submission machine when... And that you train with MMA fighters? When I look at any MMA fighter, and even the out-of-shape guys aren't...
That out of shape.
Remotely that out of shape.
Yeah.
Like, Tank Abbott was in better shape than him, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Tank Abbott was... old, for God's sake.
Well, he's still alive. I mean, sort of.
Yeah. But still, what? Joe's 20-something? Like, Joe has a decade on him, for God's sakes. There is no reason for that guy not to hit a treadmill, do some plyometrics, go to the fucking gym.
Yeah.
God!
All right, let's not say... we shouldn't say he's not going to the gym, but it's...
No, he isn't! I don't give a fuck! He can show me. I'll go to the gym and I'll fucking run circles around him. Good God. He probably can't lift a 10-pound dumbbell, for God's sakes. At least he doesn't know what the fuck one looks like.
Maybe to move it.
God. Well, yeah, he might be moving it for the fucking plate of chicken wings behind it. God.
Wow. I didn't realize you were this passionate about it. That was lost in the instant messaging translation.
I just got on a roll, and I just feel like insulted. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You started with the pants, and it looks worse by the week. Like, I keep on thinking about it now.
Well, all right. The problem is, he's got the exact same build he has, but he had those shorts pulled up over his belly button, so you couldn't tell. Second, he had hair. The shave look, it's for a big fat bald guy. I mean, that's not a good look. Trust me, I did it in college. It was terrible. And but now they've added the ridiculous face tattoo. It's his overall presentation. They've just raped him, and that doesn't mean, you know, it doesn't mean that he shouldn't be working out or whatever, or at least but you would think, and this is what I've always wondered, is when wrestlers do this sort of thing, do they go back and look at themselves on TV and then go, well, the camera adds 57 pounds? I mean, you'd think, I look like a fucking mess. I'm not marketable at all.
We know that they do not go back and look at themselves on the camera, because then they'd realize that, A, their partner didn't mean to hit them in the head with a steel chair. B, they didn't really get fucked over, or shit, there should be another example, but I can't come up with one right now.
Well, being serious for a second, though, I mean, dead seriously. I mean, wrestlers are supposed to watch tapes. We're supposed to do this. I mean, why? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
But the idea that he's the Samoan submission machine now, if he's going to emulate Taz... They need to dress him like Taz. And I mean that awful singlet and everything. I want to see Samoa Joe deeply tanned, ridiculously tanned, with the black singlet. And then you even said give him the furry boots back. And I'd go one step further, make him grow his hair out and do the old dreadlocks that Taz used to do too.
Oh man, you know what? Even if he goes to the secondary mohawk look,
yeah,
it'd at least be some hair on the head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, pronounced. Yeah, yeah.
It would help out some. And the fuzzy boots. I mean, really, can it get any worse? I mean, he's a nation of violence.
And who knows? It could. Man. No one expected this to fall so far so quickly. I mean, oh boy. No, I mean,
has he really like legitimately won a match even really since he's come back?
Well, no, because he's all about violence. You know, wrestling's not about winning and losing. It's not about money in it for him. It's all about just violence, which makes no sense because you could get more violent in an MMA match than you could in a wrestling match. So, I don't know. Seeing Joe dressed like a giant pumpkin would be hilarious. Because that's exactly what Taz was for the longest time. When he started incorporating the orange and all that into his outfits, he was like a little pumpkin. He was adorable.
Oh, man. And just... and even go with the no leg pads. I'd just love to see those stubby Samoan legs without any knee pads and boots all the way up. Just give him the little short boots that Taz used to wear.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, we'd have to – the fuzzy boots, you know, I kind of liked that idea earlier today. But, no, we've got to go with the new short boots that Taz used to wear. Oh, my gosh. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, we'd lose the gut and we get to see these stumpy Samoan legs. Oh.
He's got like some thick thighs on him, but I mean all fat guys do. So I mean most fat guys do. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. It's for those expecting a actual level-headed TNA conversation. Well, that's your fault.
I mean, yeah, really. Just when did you start listening to us today?
Yeah, no, it's they've totally destroyed Joe, and hopefully, you know, maybe this will be good. I don't know, but I don't know. Maybe I should save it for next time. But until they get Jarrett off of TV again, this shit's gonna keep happening. So. It doesn't matter. It's all Mick Foley and Jeff Jarrett now, sprinkle in a dash of Sting.
And so. Since their ratings are getting better with them on, it's not gonna get any better.
It's just one of those things where you just sit back and go, "What are we missing? I mean, are we overthinking this shit or what? Because someone's enjoying it." And I don't understand who the hell's enjoying it. Somebody is, so maybe it's our fault. Not
the weirdness around Mick Foley. I don't think it's all that terrible. Like it's semi interesting actually, but I still don't like the other part of the whole Joe situation that I don't like is they're going back to the old Russo. Let's put them together as a team, and then. 1 week later, there's problems within the team, and it's just like, you know, they're trying to bring back the team with Daniels and Jarrett, with Jarrett making his decision, and Daniels and Styles talking about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, you get Styles saying, "Hey Joe, what the hell's up?" And you know, he's just blowing them off, and you got Team 3D, who is supposed to be the leaders of the pack, are completely gone and just doing the whole Team 3D Invitational.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's start stop booking though. You can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to give your audience that payoff, and it never came.
Yeah,
so.
And where the fuck is Rhino? Like, he's another one who's a leader, which. You know, and just completely, you know, he's like been on TV and gored a couple of people, I think, but that's about it.
Well, he's off training that naval guy. I think that's how they wrote him off of TV for a while.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So.
Completely forgot about that.
Yeah, but anyways, I'm tired of talking about TNA. So, we went over our mark anyways, but, oh well, only by 10 minutes, so that's okay. But, all right, so let's get the hell out of here. I don't know if Dusty and Eric are coming back this week with one or not, so we'll see what happens. If not, just keep checking back to the site, and we'll get you next time. So I'm checking out, guys. Bye.
Okie doke, grandkids. It is time for the good old talking about the beer, and I'm going to head on over for my sippy time beer, and it's going to be some nice PBR, bitches.